Our solar system exhibits a clear record of a period of bombardment and scarring. On objects like the Moon or Mercury, enormous ancient craters give a testament to a time when massive impacts were common in the solar system. Even Earth shows evidence of more recent impacts, from Meteor Crater in Arizona to the giant hidden but still detectable crater that was caused by the event that led to the extinction of the dinosaurs. And in the future, impacts will happen again. And many small impacts of meteorites happen all over the Earth each year, depositing tons of material on this world. One relatively recent witnessed large impact happened in 1994, when a very badly disrupted and fragmented comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 collided with Jupiter. The resulting explosions were so strong as to leave enormous black disruptions in Jupiter's upper cloud decks that were visible for a time even in small backyard telescopes. But impacts can get even worse than those produced by comets and asteroids. Entire planets can also collide. And oddly enough, we may have seen exactly that happen in another star system. The Open Star Cluster NGC 2547 is known to be made up of young stars, only about 20 to 30 million years old. This grouping of young stars is known to have members that sport protoplanetary debris disks, much of like what our own solar system formed out of. Given how violent the overall smash-up of our own protoplanetary disk was, it's reasonable to expect that these young debris disks are much the same, and impacts are actively going on within them, and we may have spotted one. In a paper by Huan Meng and colleagues, they report that in 2014, a flash of infrared light was seen brightening the debris disk of one of the young stars, known as ID8. This flash then slowly decayed over the course of a year. The best fit scientists found for this is if there was a giant planetary impact of some type within this system, but given the extreme young age of this system, there wouldn't have been any dinosaur analogs or life of any kind going extinct. This detected impact event, however, does evoke an event that happened in our own star system long ago. In fact, it happened to Proto-Earth, and is thought to be what formed the Moon. Proto-Earth seems to have taken a glancing blow by a perhaps Mars-sized object known as Theia. This impact then ejected the material that would coalesce into the Moon, leading to some chemical similarities between the Earth and the Moon, and indeed a single meteorite that chemically seems to be consistent with Theia itself. Thus would have been a piece ejected from that body at some point. But there's something else odd about the Theia impact. It would normally be expected that the Moon would consist of a majority of material from Theia in a glancing blow. This should mean that the Moon should exhibit different isotopes of some elements in contrast to Earth, and be made up mostly of Theia material. With some isotopes, this seems to be the case. But for several isotopes, the Moon's makeup is very similar to Earth. The reason for this is uncertain, but several explanations have been put forth. The first is that somehow the Moon formed mostly of material from Proto-Earth instead of Theia, which doesn't really fit the models. Another is that Theia and Earth formed near each other from very similar materials, or some other process during the impact that homogenized everything on both the Earth and the Moon. But there is another option. It had always been thought that if there were a direct head-on collision, then it would have destroyed both Earth and Theia, and wouldn't be consistent with what we see. But this has recently been called into question, in that a head-on collision might have been exactly what happened, and that the remains of Theia are actually still inside Earth, and possibly the Moon, clustered in chunks in the lower mantle, and that Theia may have been significantly larger than previous estimates showed. But there may be an even more obvious remnant left over from Theia, and it may have an origin very different from that of Earth. In a paper by Garrett Boud and colleagues, links to all papers in the description below, they detail that they looked at isotopes of molybdenum in meteorites and Earth. In meteorites, those believed to have originated in the inner solar system, non-carbonaceous meteorites, displayed different isotopes of molybdenum than carbonaceous meteorites thought to originate in the outer solar system. As it turned out, Earth's molybdenum isotopes lie somewhere in the middle, which means that a very large proportion of Earth's molybdenum was delivered by a very large object originating far in the outer solar system. Theia fits the bill here perfectly, meaning that its origin was not the inner solar system. This leads us to the other remnant of Theia. One of the great mysteries of Earth's history is how it acquired its water. The inner solar system where Earth formed is thought to have generally been dry, with the water ice congregating out in the outer solar system. It may be that much of our water that we see today was once Theia's water, and our oceans and rivers are at least in part a kind of fossil of a giant apocalyptic impact event that happened over 4 billion years ago. But that creates another question. What sent Theia moving into the inner solar system? This is not yet fully understood. But it pays to remember that the outer solar system is actually a very active place as opposed to the old view of it being a frozen wasteland. Not only does material from it get injected into the inner solar system, it also gets ejected. In a paper by Suzanne Falzner and colleagues, they detail that encounters with other stars passing by can cause very large amounts of planetesimals to get ejected from star systems. This is interesting in a time where we are just now detecting the first interstellar objects passing through the solar system. It's also interesting to think about how many objects that were originally members of our star system are now floating around in the interstellar medium, perhaps encountering other star systems. But there's also something spooky here, and it speaks to the fact that we don't know everything about the galaxy, even close by, and some of the unknowns might be potentially dangerous. Discovered only in 2013, a red dwarf known as Schultz's star, complete with a brown dwarf orbiting it, is thought to have passed close to our solar system about 70,000 years ago, actually passing through the Oort cloud. This is recent. There were humans already walking planet Earth at that time. When the star passed through, it very likely disturbed objects in the Oort cloud. In fact, recent evidence suggests such a disturbance might have been even larger than originally thought, even to the extent that it may have sent a hail of dangerous comets towards us that's still on its way. Thankfully, it's believed that if any comets are headed this way, it will take nearly 2 million years for them to arrive at Earth, and there's no guarantee that any will impact the planet, or it could get bombarded. Of course, there may be no humans left here by then, or future humans will be so technologically advanced that the threat can be mitigated, but if we're not here, or we've abandoned Earth for deep space, life on Earth could see another dinosaur-style mass extinction in a few million years. But many mysteries still remain about the outer solar system and the conditions of the early solar system. One last one deals with meteorites again. The aforementioned carbonaceous meteorites aren't only linked with water, but also the chemistry of life, and comets may have been the delivery system of the chemical building blocks of life on Earth. Amino acids have been found in carbonaceous chondrite meteorites, but common to both carbonaceous and non-carbonaceous meteorites, at least primitive ones, are the presence of tiny globules called chondrules. Chondrules are believed to be some of the oldest material in the solar system, some of them even containing interstellar grains that predate the solar system itself, but it's still a mystery as to how they formed. There are many theories, none of them quite explaining everything, but one in particular is really strange. The idea goes that friction created by all the dust and gas in the solar nebula caused enormous electrical discharges, essentially nebula lightning, that fused dust into globule-like chondrules. Imagine if you could see the flashes of light from something like that. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently accusing the Milky Way of being full of stars that don't know how to drive. As if Schultz's star wasn't enough, in about 1.4 million years, the star Gliese 710 is expected to come plowing through the Oort cloud, possibly sending even more comets. Bad neighbors indeed. And be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.